NFL Thursday Night Football available for free right here on KFH and on the free Odyssey app. Tune in to KFH at 7 o'clock tonight for Buffalo traveling to Miami facing the Dolphins, or simply download the Odyssey app and search for KFH at game time. We'll go through our entire schedule for the day at the end of the program, but immediately preceding the NFL on KFH Thursday Night Football tonight, the Chris Kleiman Show, K-State football, will talk about the upcoming matchup against Arizona tomorrow night. That will be at 6 o'clock tonight right here on KFH. Looking forward to hearing Coach Kleiman's thoughts on the Tulane game and, of course, them walking away with a victory there last week. It was tense for a while, and then how they plan to overcome some of those issues tomorrow night in Manhattan against Arizona. Paul, let's talk about the other primetime game in the state tomorrow night. KU taking on UNLV. We talked a little bit about it with PJ Glasser in hour number one, our betting insider. But, you know, for me, it's hard to shake the memory of the way the Guaranteed Rate Bowl went a year ago with both of these teams, where it was high flying. It was a shootout. I remember Kansas, you know, jumping out to a lead. And of course, it wasn't Jalen Daniels, and it was Jason Bean leading that offense. And they came to play, at least offensively. UNLV did make it a game, made it competitive, but the Jayhawks get a 13-point win in the Guaranteed Rate Bowl back in December. You know, I know that PJ Glasser loves the over. I don't. I'm really leaning towards the under, even though I know what these two teams did, 9 months ago. I don't have total confidence yet in the way that Kansas's offense is coming together.
You know, something, you make an interesting point. And part of the thing about when you want to go over, you got to assume that the football is going to be in the air some, don't you?
This
might be one of those games where you're going to see more than usual ball on the ground, grind it out, control the clock, you know, run plays that the clock doesn't stop. I'm just saying that's a possibility.
Yep.
You know, UNLV does a good job. It's a bit of an old school in terms of how they handle their running game. So it may be that this game goes quick, in terms of how much time is spent. I mean, I don't know. I think you're probably smart going under, because I think this is going to be probably a little shorter of a football game than average. I could be wrong, but this is a game where I doubt if it's going to get aired out on either side. Do you?
Well, I mean, I think that after the way that things went last week for the Jayhawks in really leaning on Jalen Daniels,
right,
and his arm,
uh-huh,
I think that there was so much uproar from the fan base, like, you know, put the ball on the ground, run the football, don't throw it as much as you did. I mean, there was a lot of criticism, and rightfully so, on Jeff Grimes, the new play caller offensively for the Jayhawks in last week's game against Illinois. Because, Paul, Jacob and I discussed it earlier this week, and I know you guys had Sharius Latta, our KU insider, on the show yesterday, and I'm sure you guys talked about it with him too. I really felt like Kansas dominated the majority of the game. They dominated up front. They dominated defensively. I mean, they held Illinois to 17 points. The big concern was keeping Illinois' quarterback in check and his running ability. I thought they did a pretty good job at that. It was simply the fact that they really leaned on in my opinion, rusty Jalen Daniels, still working his way back and getting back to game speed. Meanwhile, you've got a couple of the best running backs in the conference that didn't get the touches that they deserved. And that's a major issue for me, and something that they absolutely have to get remedied for tomorrow night.
Right. And part of the conversation we had yesterday was regarding the physicality of the KU offensive line, because, you've got to control the ball. Now, sure, their yardage looks good, but you've got to control the line of scrimmage. You've got to score more points, obviously, than what you're doing right now against Illinois. UNLV is potentially a very good ground game. Very, very good ground game. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, the running game in this particular game may be the one thing that you want to kind of keep your eye out. You know, you'll have heard it here if that ends up being the case. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. But it's going to be one of those things where whoever controls the line of scrimmage in this particular game may end up winning this game. And by the way, 2-0 with UNLV, it's not like they've played Murderer's Row or anything. You know, a win over Utah Tech. I mean, you know, you take that for whatever it's worth. But it's going to be a good football team. And I'm surprised that even with PJ in breaking down this game, you know, I was almost a little surprised how much loving he gave UNLV. Weren't you a little bit?
Well, I mean, you know, UNLV, they've got talent. I mean, there's no doubt about that. And on top of that, they have an extremely experienced head coach in Barry Odom. And that was, you know, I remember in the bowl game last year, that was my major concern was I thought that Kansas was more talented than UNLV was going into that bowl game. But like, you know, Barry Odom's been around the block and, you know, he's not one of the best coaches in college football historically. There's no doubt about that. It didn't work out for him, coaching Missouri. They've been able to exceed the levels that he took them to, now, you know, but he's found new life at UNLV. He's got them to bowl games and that sort of thing. So I was concerned about it a year ago. I think that to me continues into this matchup is that you're talking about a coach that by and large knows what he's doing. I'm going to tell you right now, Paul, that if there are not adjustments made in the offensive play calling for the Jayhawks tomorrow night, I have really, really major concerns about this Jayhawks team going into conference play.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. At the very beginning of the year, the expectations, I mean, pretty openly are make the 12-team playoff, right? Like, that's kind of the expectation is the 12-team playoff.
I'm with you.
If they drop this game tomorrow night, and if it's due to the offensive play calling, number one, you can kiss the 12-team playoff goodbye because they're not going undefeated in Big 12 play. It's not going to happen. I don't think any team in the Big 12 will go undefeated in conference play. And the opportunity for a three-loss team, even if the Jayhawks lose tomorrow night and then they lose just one conference game and they're a three-loss team, I don't think that they become a representative as an at-large.
Yeah, what you're saying is, yeah, no two teams from the Big 12. You're saying basically one team. That's what you're saying.
If the Big 12, you know, team that has the best record in the regular season wins the Big 12 championship, then yeah, I mean, I think that they'd probably only get one team that automatic bid.
Right.
But even if they do get two teams in, that second team, in my opinion, is not going to be a three-loss team. I just don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
I just don't think that the committee will, you know, put in a three-loss team as an at-large.
Right.
On top of that, let's say that the second-place team beats the first-place team in the conference championship. I don't think it'll be Kansas at three or more losses. I think you'll have the top team in the Big 12, and then whoever that second-place team is probably has two losses.
Well, that's a lot of pressure on a University of Kansas football team because, you know, well, let's face it. Everybody thought KU was going to beat Illinois.
100%.
I thought it. Yeah. I know you thought it.
I thought it.
Even
Jed
thought it, and he doesn't even know what he's thinking about. But the point is that, man, there is a lot of pressure on the Jayhawks. And it's very unusual to catch as much flack with regards to, you know, the workings, the inner workings, what's going on with University of Kansas as a coaching staff that most everybody really loves and thinks doing a great job. And yet I was still a little surprised to see the criticism of this coaching staff, particularly as you had already mentioned in what you just said, play selection. That seems to be a problem that a lot of people have. And I find that
rightfully
fascinating.
So.
Because I can't think of a football program in the Midwest, at least in the Midwest, that doesn't have more, you know, the coaching staff have much more respect than this staff at the University of Kansas has. People have confidence in these guys. People believe in what they're doing. And to get that kind of criticism, that much criticism, I'll rephrase, it's a little astounding to me.
You know, I do think that there is, and honestly, I'll be the first to admit, you know, I follow Kansas football pretty closely.
I know you do.
You know, in fact, I'll be at the game tomorrow night at Children's Mercy Park. So I follow them pretty closely. Even I was not anticipating the, if you want to call them issues, the situation with having a brand new offensive coordinator. That had slipped my mind. The fact that Andy Kotelnicki, who has been with Lance Leipold forever, I mean, dating back to Buffalo, dating back to, you know, other places, is no longer with the program anymore. You know, he's coaching the offense at Penn State now, and good for him. That's a hell of an upgrade. That's a hell of a job, you know, going to the legendary Penn State. I get it. You know, they bring in Jeff Grimes. He's a Baylor guy, right? He came from Baylor. Mm-hmm. called the plays at Baylor for a while. I guess in my naive mind, I just sort of expected a seamless transition. I just kind of expected like business as usual, you know, I kept thinking to myself in the offseason, they're basically returning everybody they've got offensively. You know, they're returning, obviously, Daniels. They're returning Devin Neal and Daniel Hyshaw, Sevion Morrison, Luke Grimm, Quentin Skinner, Jared Casey, Lawrence Arnold. They're returning all of their weapons. They had to replace a little bit on the offensive line, but I never took into consideration the fact that you've got a brand new play caller who's going to want to do things his way. Man, through the first 2 weeks, I know they beat Lindenwood, but they looked kind of sloppy against Lindenwood offensively too in that week number one game. Then they lose to Illinois. I think it might, if it doesn't get remedied soon, we might be looking at a pretty substantial issue here.
You said something interesting. We do things the way the offensive coordinator does things.
Yeah.
The way he wants to do it.
Yeah.
No, that's not the case. That is never the case. It's always going to be the head coach that says, this is how we're going to do this. And that's where, you know, where the head coach steps in and says, this is what we got to do. This is what I want. And ultimately, his name is on the program.
Sure.
You know, the offensive coordinator's name is not on the program. The head coach's name is on the program.
Yeah, but I also think, and I don't know the inner workings of the way that Lance Leipold operates his coaching staff, but I think that there have been so much longevity with him and Andy Kotelnicki that, not that Lance Leipold deferred to Kotelnicki, but he had trust in Kotelnicki.
Right.
Right? Like, this is your offense. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, by and large, I'm the head coach, but I trust you and I trust your judgment, and we align on what we're going to do, the plays you're going to call, I am on board with. I'm sure that was a large part of it because they had worked together for so long. This is somebody brand new coming in, and it makes me wonder if Lance Leipold kind of thought the same thing about Jeff Grimes. Like,
right.
Hey, like we'll keep the same sort of system. I trust you like I trusted Andy Kotelnicki. Uh-huh. I just don't think it's really worked over the first 2 weeks.
Well, we'll see what happens because there isn't a head coach in the country at this level of football that doesn't say, offense coordinator, you will have on my desk by Thursday all the plays that we're going to call. I will look at the plays. I will approve the game plan is ultimately whose responsibility, Tommy? It's the head coach's responsibility. So I'm kind of understanding what you're trying to get at, but the reality of the situation, that's not quite the way it works. But we'll see. You know, but I sure respect a head coach that tells his offensive coordinator, you do what you got to do. You do what you think is best, because that's a coach that ultimately will get the most out of his coaches by letting them coach. Let them coach. So we'll see.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see what the transition is, what the changes have been made, and it may be recognizable to everybody who watches that game. We'll see.
We'll pick this game and a lot of other ones, including the Kansas State game tomorrow in our Friday football picks. And, you know, look, I think the best thing possible for Kansas is to come out, show that they've made those adjustments offensively. I feel great about the defense, but make those adjustments offensively and punch UNLV in the mouth. That's going to be the best case. Yeah. Feed the ball to Devin Neal.
Right.
Feed the ball to Daniel Hyshaw. Do not put the success or failure of this offense right now on Jalen Daniels'
right.
back.
By the way,
I mean that literally, because his back was the thing that
right.
kept him out for so long.
Right.
Do not put it on his back, on his shoulders to win the game.
Real quick before we go to break,
yeah.
I guess you heard about the results from last Friday. I don't want to have to bring it up, but I mean, I don't know if you heard the results.
I was debating on whether or not I wanted to say anything. Congratulations, Paul, going 6-0. I'm sure that we will hear more about that tomorrow. It's like Rain Man. You're like Rain Man in those Friday football picks.
Rain Man.
You're like Rain Man. You're like Dustin Hoffman and Rain Man.
Yeah, that's, well.
You're like a savant when it comes to these
true.
Things.
I went 2-4 the week before.
Good Lord.
How good is that?
It's a 2-4. Perfect 6-0. You know, Jacob went 1-5 last week.
Oh, my.
And I was going to give him some grief, and then I remembered a year ago I went 0-10 one week. And
oh
so I have
God.
No room. I can't talk to anybody. I have no room to criticize anybody.
Well, the good news is you had a 0 in that score, and I had a 0 in my score this week.
Well. The O is on the different column.
Oh, is that right?
It was
right?
in a separate
okay,
column
good.
Entirely.
Okay.
So we'll pick all those games tomorrow on our Friday football picks. Real quick, before we go to break, want to let you know about a special program we have going on this weekend. The Wichita State Shockers are taking over the fairgrounds at the Kansas State Fair for Shocker Sunday, the final day of the State Fair, this Sunday. Make it out to Hutch for a Shocker-filled day at the fair. Or you can also tune in right here to KFH 97.5 and 1240 for a special live show featuring special Wichita State guests. That's going to be happening Sunday morning from 11 a.m. to noon, right before NFL coverage, right before everything else going on that Sunday, 11 to noon on Sunday here at KFH for Shocker Sunday at the Kansas State Fair. Make sure you don't miss that. We're going to step aside. We'll be right back. It's Sports Daily on KFH.
Seven five, KFH.